Hello and welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward, joined per usual by Jeremy File. We are just 12 days away from the Big Ten football season finally kicking off. Michigan State and Rutgers, no surprise, they're going to be playing at noon. Michigan, on the other hand, wanted two Big Ten nightcaps on Saturday as they take on Minnesota on ABC at 7:30. Like I said, Jeremy is with me. Jeremy, what were your initial thoughts when you saw this?
Excited. I'm very excited. I can tell there's a pep in your step. We're both ready for this. We've been watching all these other conferences play with fans. I know we'll get into that momentarily. I'm just excited, you know, and I beg both fan bases to just don't take this for granted. You know, I had a hard time with the bubble at first. You know, it was tough, no fans. I'm a huge basketball guy. I'm really excited for college basketball, too. I'm sure we'll talk about that over the next few months. But just embrace it. You know, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be a struggle. These young athletes are going to go out there and play their best. It's not going to be pretty at all times, but I'm sure you'll see that right away. We'll see what happens. But I'm excited. We needed this. And let's get rolling, man. I am so ready for two weekends, man. Not this weekend, but the next. Let's get going. I'm so ready for Spartan and Wolverine football.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. You know, it's been a long time coming. Obviously, such a roller coaster. You talked about the lack of fans in the stands. Like, this could be a real detriment. Look, we don't 100% know how they're doing bowl season. And look, let's be real, a lot of the bowl games are played in the South anyways. But you're seeing what game was I watching the other day? Texas A&M just loaded and ready to go. You know, you have Florida's coaches and players, you know, begging for them to fill the stadium. Fill it. Not 20%. Not 30%. I'm not going to do the whole LeBron thing because we saw how well that worked out for him. But
can you imagine Jim Harbaugh? I have to say this. Can you imagine Harbaugh going live and saying, we need more fans? Gretchen Whitmer would freak. Anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, there are those political tie-ins with state schools. And so I don't think that's going to happen. I think it'd be great if he did. And obviously, you know, he would be probably the one coach to voice his displeasure first. Right. Just because he was one of the voices in the Big Ten, you know, advocating for a season. But, I mean, what does this mean? Like, the Big Ten doesn't have fans, and obviously there's – I think it's okay in regards that, you know, there's none of these non-conference games. You know, Wisconsin's not going to go and, you know, play Arkansas or anything like that. And, sure. You know, you're not going to see something like that where Arkansas is allowed to, you know, put a couple butts in the seats. And so I think that it's okay in that regard. But look, come bowl season, how is that all going to work? Like, there's just so many questions for this. And it's like, look, just to see those fans, even this hurts me saying it, you know, even at Notre Dame, down here in the South Bend area, like, it's really nice to see.
It's nice to see, but you know what's crazy? I was just thinking as you're ripping off great topics and facts there, just imagine, like, I get Florida's coach, you know, Dan Mullen being upset because it's an advantage. It's an absolute advantage if you play on the road in the SEC, right, and they've got fans at one stadium packed in Texas. You go to Florida, your president says, no, we're not risking it. And then your home game doesn't matter as much. And it's like, are you kidding? This is, talk about gamesmanship. When you add political things and you add presidents involved and how many fans we're going to have, well, I'll let you know. This is my choice. Wow. I mean, 2020 could not be crazier. I mean, so I think the Big Ten, believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying this, got it right because of fair competition. No fans for anyone. But, you know, I think what you'll see is obviously you got the cutout pitchers and, you know, it looks like there's fans there, right? It's not going to be the same. And then you have the crowd noise. So at least it's somewhat equal, right? You know, at every venue, Michigan plays Michigan State at home again, but technically it's not necessarily a home game. But I am really curious. We talked about this, what, 3 months ago? What the fan noise is going to sound like?
Yeah.
We've seen it in the bubble where it kind of got – I felt like some of the home games technically were louder for some teams.
So yeah.
What's that going to be all about, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that I'm curious about too, because, you know, you sit there and you try to enjoy what can only be described as spectacular commentary between Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on CBS. And
oh, God. Don't. Just stop.
And you can barely hear – you can barely hear them, though. But then if you turn on
Thank
Fox,
God.
You're forced to listen to Joe Buck. And
oh, no.
Yeah. So I don't – I mean, hopefully they, you know, the stations get the levels right. I mean, Big Ten is part of the Fox network, Fox family of networks, Fox Sports One and all that type of stuff. So hopefully that gets – hopefully that's okay. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. As long as it's another one that really kind of drove me crazy when you talk about this pumped in fan noise. Look at the Detroit Lions in week one.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Pretty much just had an audible cheering throughout the entire game, no matter what was happening, no matter, you know, a stoppage of play, if the ref was trying to talk over it, or any of that type of thing, you know. So I think it's a little bit based upon, like, the independent universities. But, look, I'm hoping that they just get it right. And, you know, technologically speaking, I went to school for broadcasting. So that type of stuff just absolutely drives me nuts. And, I just hope they get it right. But, look, let's break down some football stuff. Next week we're going to break down the opponents a little bit. We're going to break down Minnesota. We're going to – do what we can to break down Rutgers, but
gosh, yeah, good luck.
We're you know, Big Ten definitely didn't make it easy on us. You know, let's see a couple players for Rutgers first.
Right.
But look, as far as the teams go, Michigan, the one school I would say in the entire conference that can compete with Ohio State in the recruiting field. They're the only ones. Wisconsin, no. They do it like Michigan State basketball's done it. Three stars and a buttload of success. Penn State is hit and miss in regards to that. Michigan's the only one. So the talent is obviously there. One of the things that we want to do was like three keys or something as to how either of these schools can succeed. And you know what, we're going to do one thing that would make them fail beyond their expectations. You know, we already broke down game by game, but look, three keys for Michigan.
Yeah, three keys. I think number one, it's obvious Joe Milton has to be better than Shea Patterson. And you know, I think what people need to realize is that obviously they didn't watch the games like we did. Shea Patterson
obviously has a it's more or less like a G League offer for football right now. Just got signed to a contract. I think it's called the TSL. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, anyways, go on.
Yeah, I think, of course, the key number one is Joe Milton has to not only follow the expectation pattern, which is high for Michigan fans, but he has to surpass those expectations. He has to be absolutely wiped out in these eight games, game by game. That's key number one. Key number two is who in the world is going to be that deep threat because Nico Collins isn't playing, because that's his strength, right? You know, I guess we're staying quarterback. I think it really comes down to him. I think the defense will play well. They're going to be solid as always under Don Brown. They won't be great, but they'll always be good. You got to find a way to exceed some expectations at quarterback, and you got to have a deep threat. Right now, they do not have a deep threat. It's not proven. Ronnie Bell is their best option, but he's been more of a slot guy. You know, catches it in space and can run. They got a lot of guys like that. Mike Thaner's still like that. Giles Jackson's like that. You know, they mentioned A.J. Henning, you know, a freshman coming in, kind of like that, a little bigger. Cornelius Johnson's a big target. He's going to have to step up. So the first two keys clearly are going to come down to the passing attack. Because I think they're pretty good at running back. I mean, Charbonnet, they're raving about Charbonnet right now, which I think is a little far-fetched, but they got backfield depth. Offensive line is, you know, you know, I want to say it's a key, but let's just, you know, go a different route. I think the third key really is in big games, the defense just has to play better. I mean, you cannot give up four or five big plays. Shoot, you can't give up three big plays against Ohio State. I mean, I think Ohio State's defense is too talented, and I think they'll shut Michigan down a little bit. So the three keys, again, quarterback, who's the deep threat without Collins, and the defense just has to be better in the big games. So interesting, though, Tyler, because, you know, there's just so many question marks. I can't imagine them with a new quarterback and a whole new offensive line and really losing a couple big pieces on defense. Them doing anything like a 7-1 season. You know, I just can't see it right now. But I think if Joe Milton plays out of his mind, we found out that when a quarterback plays really, really well, kind of changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, that's the most important position. Some interesting notes. I think that the quarterback position, it gets overhyped in the NFL a little bit in regards to, like, number one picks and things of that nature. But in regards to, you know, changing the look of a collegiate team, look at, well, Connor Cook to Brian Lewerke. No disrespect to Lewerke. Lewerke broke a lot of Cook's records. But, you know, the playmaking at the clutch time wasn't there.
No.
So the quarterback changes everything. And, you know, the thing is how much – better can Milton be than Shea Patterson? Well, I mean, Shea Patterson wasn't in any of the Heisman conversations, but he came along really well at the end of the year.
Well, I think the thing you got to know if you're a Michigan fan, number one, just be realistic, which is really hard for that fan base. And number two, you know, Shea Patterson was a very good quarterback. I mean, I'm shocked at how he gets ripped so much. I get that some big play passes deep, he struggled. You know, Alabama, that's a prime example. He had two or three guys wide open, or at least a couple steps. He couldn't make the pass. So, yeah, he struggled on that end. But I think he was 22-5 last year, 22 touchdowns, 5 picks or 6 picks. The year before, I think he was around the same, 21-5. He was 19-7 as a starter. That's pretty good. He was winning 9.5 games in those 2 years. That's pretty good. I mean, that's not bad, especially for a program that hasn't won a Big Ten championship since 2004. It's not like, you know, the guys before Shea Patterson were really doing that well. So Joe Milton is in a tough spot because not only do you have to replace a guy that did pretty good, you're expected to win a championship in your first year starting with no deep threat. Tough. But I think what he has to do a lot better, and this is why I'm glad that he's a starter, I don't think McCaffrey's fit in that offense, Tyler. I really don't. I think he's a good quarterback, great size. He's good at rolling out, has a slow delivery. In this offense, you got to have a quick arm and an explosive arm. Joe Milton does have that. Quick arm, explosive arm. Is he going to make the right decisions?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to find out probably in week one, that he can make the right reads and make the right throws. If you exceed expectations for me, if you're Joe Milton, you win 7 games. You know, you lose a game there, and then, you know, let's just be honest. I made a terrible pick. I made a prediction from the heart. I can't believe we keep losing to Ohio State all these years in a row. I made a bold prediction that Michigan would win. It's probably not going to happen. So a 7-1 season, and or, you know, you win all those games and you lose to the Buckeyes, or you slip up a game and you beat Ohio State, my gosh, I mean, you're a hero. So sadly, the expectation is that at Michigan, Tyler, they expect Joe Milton to come in and win a championship. So good luck, young man. I mean, it's a brutal schedule, and I just can't see it happening right now.
Yeah, I don't think it happens right now. Who knows what the future holds. One thing really quick that could bomb on my – I mean, that could completely blow up the expectations and everything else. I mean, is that Joe Milton just not living up to the expectation, or is there something else that you see?
I think worst case scenario, he just doesn't play well at all, you know, or he's not even close to what we thought. And then, you know, you're in a situation, do we play McNamara, who's really unproven, has had no snaps, or he gets, God forbid, hurt, you know. And that's where, when McCaffrey left, sadly, that was one of the things I thought about, you know, is what happens if Milton gets hurt, or vice versa. If McCaffrey gets hurt, you have Milton. That's where it can be a problem. He's got to stay healthy. He hasn't took a lot of hits, right? He hasn't played meaningful games. Ohio State game, he scores a touchdown. Everyone's raving about it. They were down like a million points. He had a touchdown pass against Rutgers. Oh, did you see that arm strength? Well, he played against Rutgers. Yeah. I mean, I think I could go out there and make a beautiful pass and look like, you know, Joe Namath out there. You know, it's the worst case scenario, Charlie. He struggles. He turns the ball over. We seen it last year with Patterson. What did I say last year? This new offense, Patterson would struggle, right? He did. He ball security was an issue. Milton's seen this offense. He's been around it. I think he understands it. They're super high on him. But I do think worst case scenario is he turns the ball over or he gets hurt. And you know, you really don't want the latter to happen. You want him to learn on the fly, make some mistakes and get over him. But I mean, you know, I made my prediction with the year, and I've already done that. We don't need to do that again. But just for his sake, worst case scenario is he's not as good as Patterson. He doesn't make the right reads. He turns the ball over.
Yeah, and we'll go ahead. We'll get to Michigan State quickly because we do not have a lot of time left. So, number one, look, I think the first thing, just health on the offensive line. They've been beat up the last 2 years, but because of that, they have a lot of experience. Some freshmen looked really, really good last year in Nick Samak and J.D. Duplain. Yeah. Redshirt freshman Spencer Brown is getting a lot of love from this new staff. And Devontae Dobbs, he's a redshirt freshman, expected to be a third or fourth tackle. That he was really hyped up, but you get Matt Allen back for the full season, hopefully, knock on wood. You get Kevin Jarvis back. I think that the combination of everything up front, look, that I think they're going to have a better offensive line than people think. Just because they've struggled so much the last 2 years, I feel like that's mostly attributed to injuries. Now everybody has the depth, everybody has the experience, and I think it can be one of the better fronts in the Big Ten.
I think the offensive line is going to be good, Tyler. Yep. I really do.
Yep.
Number two, I'm
going with the free safety position. No further comment. You know, we've dogged Trey Person enough over the summer. I'm going with the free safety position. Julian Barnett, Shakir Brown, Xavier Henderson, all look really, really good. I love Shakir Brown. Barnett's one of the better athletes in the Big Ten. And Xavier Henderson's proven to be very solid. So it's just, what can you do to bring that no-fly zone back?
Well, Harlan Barnett said that. I want to add something real quick because that was going to be one of my keys for sure is can that secondary be much more sturdy and kind of go back to what it was. And Harlan Barnett's bringing that culture back, mentioning the no-fly zone, thank goodness. I think they're actually really talented in the secondary. They just have to play better. You know, they have the talent, they have the size, they have the speed.
Yeah.
You can't get lost in coverage. You can't make boneheaded decisions like they have. You know, the wrong reads, wrong steps. I think that secondary has a ton of talent. I think the offensive line, your key one, they're going to be good. I think they're going to be very good. But, yeah, secondary is the key. I think Michigan State will always have a solid D-line and good linebackers. And we know how Antoine Simmons is. I mean, the dude's a baller. So, secondary is, gosh, it probably is the number one key in my opinion.
Yeah, it's number two for me. Like I said, Barnett, you talk about the wrong steps or whatever. He's still transitioning from that receiver position at the college level, so we'll see how that turns out. But, you know, number three, quarterback position, you know, we beat the crap out of this. Every media outlet has beaten the crap out of the quarterback position at Michigan State. And so, you know, we're not going to dive into that. One thing that I think can derail this program, though, this season, I mean, again, it's going to take a lot to derail it because the expectations are tampered a little bit, is, you know, the coaching staff fiddling around with, like, not having an idea of who they want to start. And obviously that starts at the quarterback position. Yeah. But, you know, there's a left tackle battle. What if You know, Devontae Dobbs is putting on a show and Arcuri's struggling a little bit in practice. Those types of things are, you know, when you sit there and you just start shuffling around all of these pieces you have. Look, I've said it, and I don't think I'm crazy for saying it. D'Antonio didn't leave the cupboard empty. It's just a bunch of new dishes. And, you know, it's not like fine china by any stretch of the imagination. But, look, I'll bust these out when my parents come over. You know what I mean? And that's how you got to, like, look at this is, you know, it's not empty. There is talent there. D'Antonio was – his recruiting did not – go as poorly as people think. He just lost a lot of his recruits for other reasons that, you know, were already committed with the program. You know, guys like Donnie Corley should be one of the more seasoned guys on the team. This season, you know, Montez Sweat, Austin Robertson, Josh King, those situations are why, you know, the team kind of fell off. They were supposed to be leaders last year and this year. So, That's what I think could end up, you know, pushing this season down the toilet for Michigan State.
Can I add one thing, Tyler? The quarterback thing, no doubt, it's a key. But it was just creeping in my mind when I was thinking of all the quarterbacks, right? And I thought to myself, is there a way that they could maybe, you know, slow games down, play a little different where you don't have to be a spread team? Where you say, you know, we're going to pound the ball with Collins. He's a great back. The offensive line we feel confident with, they're physical. Is it an option where you say, you know what, maybe this year we got to get, you know, use what we have. We have a solid O-line. We got a great running back. We got a couple pieces at receiver. But let's ease this quarterback into it where, you know, we're not trying to get crazy and run tempo. We're trying to control the clock like Michigan State has been so good at. Do you think that's something that they should do? Because I don't know if it's necessarily
something that they should do, just because I don't know if the best defenses Michigan State and the Big Ten has ever seen, because that ended up being the 2013 class, you know, 4 years later. And that defense was, you know, number one in everything in college football that year. I think they can, but they also need to score points. They have the weapons at receiver and Jaden Reed, Trey Mosley, and Jalen Naylor. They got a lot of really good backups, 6'6", Trayvon Morgan. He's not getting a
– He's going to be big.
He's already a big boy, Trayvon but he'll be huge in the red zone. If you throw him in there with two tight ends and a fullback and you just put him out on the edge, that's a jump ball that any I think any of the three Michigan State quarterbacks could throw to, four if you include Noah Kim.
Is Matt Dotson, I know I'm kind of throwing a curveball, is Matt Dotson back?
Gillison just showed so much potential last year. And, you know, I said it year one. I said it the second I saw him. I was like, this is going to be the future of our tight end position. I think Dotson has better hands.
Sure.
But Gillison may be the better all-around tight end if you factor in run blocking. But, 12 days away, baby. Cannot wait to see this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Plan on having a couple people over. I live in Indiana, so that's okay. And
thank you for stabbing me. Thank you. You know, in the heart. I need more pain and suffering in 2020. So,
you know, have a couple people over, have some pizza, you know, things of that nature. Looking forward to, you know, doing it like we did a year ago. I mean, hopefully Michigan State gets a few more wins, Michigan a few more losses. But besides that, look, college football's here, Big Ten football's here, and that's what, you know, drives our boat. That's what drives our show. We're looking forward to that. But that does it for us today. For Jeremy File, I am Tyler Hayward. This is the Trouble with the Snap podcast.